Welcome to Borderlands. I'm Stuart Best, your host. Borderlands is that show where we examine the mysteries, the enigmas of the world of the cosmos, bring them back to the Bible prophecy and Bible doctrine, a book that people really ought to read, a book that people ought to think at least once in their life, as Cliff High says, might help them understand something that they don't want to understand, that the whole world really doesn't want to understand, that the multitudes who stand before Jesus Christ utterly and completely rejected do not want to understand, but will, unfortunately, in a very harsh way. I cannot think of anything more harsh than standing before the throne of God Himself, being told you're going to be cast away forever with no recourse, when you are positive you were saved, going to heaven, etc., etc., etc. Anyway, a friend of mine sent me an email with an attack upon me. Normally I don't pay any attention to these things, but I think I'm going to on this one, because this letter actually is very, very usual, and you're going to run into this from time to time. And it's amazing in its misunderstanding. You know, the people that attack us in our ministry here, which for the past 25 years our ministry has been, why don't you read the Bible? Instead of mouthing off about what you think you know, why don't you read it and just accept what it says? Not what you think it says, but what it does say. But we run into this all the time, and we are required by the Lord to contend earnestly for the faith once delivered. And in this day and age of apostasy, the Laodicean lukewarm church, positive they are heaven-bound, in fact so positive of it they won't hear anything that might suggest to them, maybe you better read the Bible again. Maybe you better check things out for yourself. But they won't do this. In many ways, there's no point arguing with these kind of people, and I'm not doing this to argue. I don't argue with them. I've presented my case. It stands where it stands. I'm not concerned about it. I know that if any of these people who are so adamant were to die that instant, they would cross over and they would find the horrific truth of the matter. And it is horrific. More horrific than the worst of Hollywood's scare, fear, terror movies. Anyway, here we go. I'm going to read the letter first, and then I'm going to go back and go over it and make some comments about it. And then a friend of mine sent me something else. And I think it comes, I'm not sure when this fellow was actually born, because I haven't had time to really look it up. But I think it's kind of an older thing, and it's, you remember Pilgrim's Progress, etc., etc., etc. But anyway, I want to get into this letter, and then we'll go into the rest of it. I think it's important. It says, hello, and I'm gonna omit all the names. Admits the existing and further details of what I hope evolves into another breakfast meeting with you and two others. I would like to submit a few sample thoughts for your consideration, and perhaps more conversation when we meet again. I trust you will acknowledge we've thought to refrain from burdening you regarding the grand subject of God's way of salvation, as it dates all the way back to the fall of 1995, since we last discussed this in any detail. You remember it was so-and-so and I in your living room over there in St. Paul. You had a tape recording running, as I recall, based upon a recent phone call from X. I am under the impression that you would still hold to the tutorial tenets of a man named Stuart from Wisconsin. or at least he lived in Wisconsin when you told me about him. You are waiting for some special experience like his to take place in your life. It reminds me of an old Dr. Seuss rhyme. You might catch a boot. You might catch a can. You might catch a bottle. But listen, young man. You can sit 50 years with your worms and your wishes, but you'll grow a long beard long before you catch fishes. I have learned over time that it is generally bad practice initially to mount any attack upon the validity of what an individual currently believes. However, with you and I, given a long history of friendship and mutual experience, relative to the central theme of the gospel message, Christ was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification, Romans 4:25. We can dispense with formalities and cut to the chase. You know me, I hope, well enough to know there is no offense intended here. And further, as a matter of fact, it is in love of you, as an old friend and to your soul, I submit these simple considerations for you to mull over. When I first heard you talk about this man from Wisconsin and his thoughts on what he believed his salvation to be, I remember distinctly asking myself repeatedly, "Huh? Where's that in the Bible?" As I listened to various conflicting and bizarre touchstones, you had me watch a video over here in my home, and I have to be honest with you, it's a load of hooey. Deep down somewhere in the recesses of your heart, I think you know that to be true. I got dizzy trying to connect all the dots as to his line of reasoning, and the thought crossed my mind from Matthew 18:3, "Except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." Ah, the simplicity and the power of the gospel, that even little children can understand it. The Lord never made any hard condition. I remember thinking that if I am struggling with understanding Stuart's twists and turns, in terms of just raw IQ or data grasping with wherewithal, how could a child ever get a hold of it? He also seemed so proud of the sacrifices he had made. Huge, huge red flags. Suppose you didn't see them then. Maybe you still don't. But even more obvious than the item above, and it is well my final thoughts, for you to chew on, please carefully consider the first following lead-up facts, of which, in the absolute sense, there can be no steering around. They are undeniable. 1. During 79-81 and again in 1995, you heard God's way of salvation explained by friends you grew up with and knew well. You heard it preached by several men, not just X, explained in tracts, most importantly, told out with convincing proof in the Bible. You would have even said so yourself during that time. Christ died for me is all that was needed to save anyone's soul, even yours. 2. Something or someone must have changed your mind as to number 1, just stating a fact. 3. You met a man who showed you that which was completely, not just slightly, contrary to what you had previously understood to be true. You believed him. 4. That man tells a story where he was fed up with the rat race, quit his lucrative job, went on a sort of Henry David Thoreau journey of desert solitude. He then jotted down the details of his experience during that time and called it his roadmap to heaven, and he has built himself what would be commonly referred to as a guru-based cult of personality, derived from his own experience, Certainly not from clear biblical teaching. 5, we attempted to show you God's way of salvation again in 1995, and it became clear you had made your choice in favor of this new line of teaching. We have prayed for you ever since. 6, I trust there will be questions that evoke other good questions in your mind. There is no way around these. I trust you would agree that God has revealed himself and continues to reveal himself in this present age solely through his word as man's great redeemer. And he did this long before Stuart came along. Consider asking yourself Job's question from Job 25:4. Then ask yourself these 4 questions. A. How could man be justified with God before Stuart from Wisconsin came along and taught me his way in recent years? B. Are all those poor souls previous to Stuart's teachings without hope, under judgment, that is? Did they know this new way? C. Does Stuart's way to heaven line up with God's way, faith applied to a blood-shedding sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins? D. Was God's way of salvation intended by God to be complicated for those who are truly seeking his way? May the Lord bless you in your continuing search. My prayer for you is that you will not be the sad man described in 2 Timothy 3:7, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I trust you will take this letter mercifully, but also take it in heart from an old friend who cares very much for you. The Lord has your greatest good in mind, so do I. Your old pal, and that it's signed. That's the letter. I suppose I should be polite in my response, but I also have to mark out certain areas that are kind of bothersome and should be bothersome to anybody. Because we get this constantly all the time, that it's my gospel, that it is the gospel of Stuart Best, that he is a guru, and he's got this cult personality following. We're a cult group here. And it's all a lie. There is nothing in Scripture to back it up. And it's all just hocus pocus. It's just baloney. No truth in it. Well, in first place, it's not my gospel. It's exactly and only what Jesus Christ himself said, either when he was personally here on earth as recorded, or when he left earth and brought it back through the apostles, mainly Paul, the apostle. A lot of people don't like Paul because what Paul has to say agrees too much and too closely with what Jesus Christ actually had to say about this issue of salvation. And anyway, then he gets into this Dr. Seuss rhyme. Kind of interesting how much he says tutorial tenets of a man named Stuart from Wisconsin. Our ministry, I'd like to comment about that. Our ministry has been designed with one purpose: get in the Bible and study it as though your life depends on it, because it does, your eternal life, and where you're going to spend it. Now, you can mock that all you want. You can say, well, that's ridiculous. We don't have to do that. Nowhere does it tell us to study. Nowhere does it say anything about that. It's a simple belief. We just simply believe in what Jesus did for us, and that's it. There is nothing more to it. And that's the way it's been for years and years and years. Jesus made a comment when he was here on earth. And he was talking to the Sanhedrin and the leaders of the faith at that point in time, and they had their religious beliefs just like the Christian preachers, teachers, and evangelists have today. And he said, you have rendered null and void the word of God by your tradition. You have rendered null and void the word of God by your traditions. I want you to think about what he's saying here. He's saying tradition has taken precedence over the word of God. Well, the tradition in the modern day church, we are saved by faith through grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. Sit in your easy chair, believe. That's it. Convert. Okay. Anyway, these are not my tutorial tenets. These are Bible verses that this man who wrote this letter would do very, very well if he wants to save his soul to actually read and contemplate. What does this mean? Enter in at the straight gate. Walk the narrow way. What does that mean? No, they don't even consider it. They just ignore it. It doesn't exist. Because, you see, their tradition doesn't outweighs anything the Bible actually says. We are just as guilty in modern-day Christianity as the Jews were when Jesus appeared, and they couldn't stand him, and they can't stand the truth. No, there's no difference between Israel and the church when it comes to that sort of thing. They've got their traditions, and that's it. They've got their leaders. They've got their power structures. And how dare you challenge anything they say? Well, I will challenge it. I will challenge them. And I will also say that if they don't do exactly what Jesus Christ commanded them to do, they're never going to see heaven in spite of all their beliefs to the contrary. In fact, that's exactly what the multitudes in Matthew chapter 7 found out the hard way. Well, didn't we believe? Didn't we do this? Didn't we perform miracles? Didn't we do all of these things? And why are you telling us get away? Because I never experientially came to know you. Well, that doesn't apply to us. That's not for the modern church. Well, fine, okay. This man never even gives only one or two scriptures, and then only in a remote, never quotes any of them. But this is called how did Jesus word it, if I recall it right? You search the scriptures daily, thinking that in them you shall find eternal life, but you will not come to me that you might have life. No, you see, they have omitted all these verses of scripture about coming to Christ. It's all now believe only. You see, this is what they do. They drop off. Satan is very, very clever. He knows exactly what he's doing. How do you think he bilks millions of sincere Christians out of eternal life with Christ? Well, he does it by deception. He does it by diverting their attention. How does he do it? Well, he omits little words, conditions, number one, if, ands, ors, or buts. He omits words like come to. He omits revelation, because after all, that's a dirty word. Anyway, getting ahead of myself, he says, I've learned over time, generally a bad practice initially to mount any attack upon the validity of what an individual currently believes. Then he turns right around and does it. However, with you and I, this is different. This is different. So I'm going to cut down to the chase here. When I first heard you talk about this man from Wisconsin and his thoughts on what he believed his salvation to be, I remember distinctly asking myself repeatedly, huh? Where's that in the Bible? Where is that in the Bible? oh, gee, let's read Matthew, let's read Luke, let's read Mark, let's read John, Paul, James, a few others. I think he'd find it. But you see, they don't want to read it. They don't want anything to do with the real truth, because the real truth would scare them half to death. You see, in today's modern Christianity, there is no fear of God. God is a God of love, but he is not a God of judgment. In as much as God says, I, the Lord, love judgment. And he also talks about the death of his saints is a sweet savior to him. It's a wonderful thing, the death of his saints. Now, he could be talking about physical death, because then they're coming home. But he could also be talking about another form of death that you'll find in the Old Testament, by the way. But let's not get into that. That'd be too complicated. We only need one or two sentences from the Bible, and we're going to base our whole theology on that. Let's not pull out all these multitudes of verses that all say the same thing. That's too complicated, and it goes against what we think. It goes against our tradition. We don't want to go against our tradition. That would be, heaven forbid. Anyway, he says, huh? Where's that in the Bible? Well, let's see, Matthew, I never experientially came to know you. Get away. Seems to me I've read in This Is Life Eternal, and in John talks about this is life eternal, that they might experientially know thee and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent, experientially come to know. That's what it says. Book of Revelation 3, chapter 3. I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. And then, of course, we have the Gospel of John once again talking about the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ to those who obey him, because those who love him obey him and do as he commanded. Those who do not love him, in spite of all their protests to the contrary, do not obey him because they don't love him. Their profession of love is full of corruption and lies and deception. See, Jesus looks on the heart. He don't look at the profession of the mouth, which is why he says, oh, you speak so well of me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. This is the multitudes. You have to understand something here. The multitudes that stand before Jesus Christ, utterly rejected, were thought they were sincere, wonderful Christians who loved the Lord. Jesus says, no, you didn't love me. You didn't do anything I told you to do. You know, if you go into Matthew, he talks about Matthew chapter 7. He talks about this straight gate, and he talks about this narrow way, and then he finishes up by telling you that there are false shepherds and preachers and teachers and evangelists that are going to come in and destroy the flock. And he said, if you love me, do what I tell you. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, not do what I say? Well, that doesn't apply to Christians. We're saved by faith. Simple faith as a child. So, where's that in the Bible? Well, we've gone over that. I don't know how many million times. You can download our free Dark Light, and you can see multitudes of verses of Scripture. I'd like to see what they want to answer. Well, it does mean what it says. Couldn't possibly mean that. Well, you see, I'm a guru because I ask people to read what it says, not what they want it to say, not what they think it should say, but what does it say? As I listen to various conflicting and bizarre touchstones. Bizarre? You mean to tell me that this man believes that the word of God is bizarre? That's what he's saying. It's bizarre. And it's conflicting. Nothing conflicting about it. Anybody who's actually read it sees a beautiful, wonderful harmony between the Old and the New Testament, all woven together. Oh, I made a mistake here. I forgot. The Old Testament doesn't count anymore. We're in the New. Last time I checked, the New unlocked the Old, and the Old unlocked the New. And as much as God does not change what he thinks, obviously you will find the gospel of salvation in the Old Testament as well as the New. In fact, the Old Testament unlocks what the New Testament has to say about it. But anyway, according to this man, various and conflicting bizarre touchstones. That's very, very interesting to me. He said, you had me watch a video over here in my home, and I have to be honest with you, Bill, it's a load of hooey. Well, I'm sure he's probably talking about the testimony. And a testimony has nothing in it but Scripture. So what this man is actually telling you is that the Scripture is a load of hooey. Now, this is where you find out where the ducks lay in a person's psyche. This is where you find out the hatred, the absolute and total hatred these professing Christians have for the Word of God, and their hatred for the Lord Jesus Christ, even though they claim they love Him. Oh, I love Him with so much love, I can hardly stand myself. Well, if you love Him, Jesus said, if you love Me, you will do as I commanded you. And if you will do it, I will come to you, and I will manifest Myself to you. Oh, I haven't ever seen that in the Bible. That's not, where did that come from? It's in the Gospel of John. Well, John must be a liar. John was smoking pot by the river Euphrates and was hallucinating. It's not the Word of God. Couldn't possibly be. What is he talking about? This is life eternal. That they might experientially know God and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. Oh. Yeah, he obviously was high on the weed. Maybe even smoking Wisconsin green. You know, we grow a lot of pot around here. Probably got shipped over there. So John could smoke it and make these comments that obviously could not possibly be true. Anyway, he says it's a load of hooey, that video we did, that documentary that we did called The Testimony. And I went through what happened to me, and I also showed all the verses of Scripture as to what happened, because Jesus Christ Himself took me back in the Bible and showed it to me. Oh, but that must have been Satan. I'm so sorry, I made a mistake. It must have been Satan. Couldn't have been Jesus, because there is no such thing. It's all hooey. It's not in the Bible anywhere. Yep, it's all just bizarre. Conflict. Hooey. And deep down, somewhere in your heart, you know it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, deep down in a person's heart is where the Lord is... I want to come into your heart, you Antichrist spirit. Open the door. That's that restlessness. That's that horrible, empty feeling, because you can believe all you want. You see, here's the problem with belief. You can believe Aunt Matilda is God. And you can devote your entire life to it. You can build statues and set up turntables here for people to put their 50-cent piece in, and they can come in and bow down to Aunt Matilda. Well, Aunt Matilda showed up, and she made lots of prophecies. You see, that's belief. You can believe anything. Jesus told you. He said, if you will continue in my word, you will find the truth, and the truth shall set you free. He didn't say, if you continue in my word, you will believe the truth, and believing the truth will set you free. That's not what he said at all. He said, you're going to find it. You're going to actually find what the truth is. And Jesus said, I am the truth. Well, I suppose it's very bizarre and hooey to say that that means I'm going to find Jesus Christ himself. Light has come into the world. Jesus said, I am the light. Light has come into the world, but the world of darkness and didn't like the light, would not come to the light to have their deeds reproved. Big difference between believing and coming to the light. You can believe in the light all you want, but you are commanded, you are ordered, you are absolutely commanded to come to that light. You are commanded actually to drop everything and do it. Well, I can't. You see, I've got this farm I've got to run. I've got this business I have to run. I've got all these things I have to do. It's an RSVP, but I'll be to the wedding. I guarantee you I'm coming to the wedding. Here's my RSVP. It's wonderful. It's great. Here it is. And they never show up. Why? Because they won't enter in. Simple. Anyway, then he goes on to say, I get dizzy trying to connect all the dots as to his line of reasoning. The Bible tells you to connect the dots. Last time I checked, it said study to show yourself approved. The word approved, look it up. Don't take my word for it. It means accepted by God. How is a person accepted by God? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, you must. You absolutely must be born again. That's how you're accepted. Well, how can I be born again? Enter in at the straight gate. Walk the narrow way. Jesus said to his people, he said, you know, I'm going to be baptized with fire. And by the way, just as an offset remark, you too are going to be baptized with the same fire I'm baptized with. And where did Jesus go? He went to Calvary, and he went on the cross, and he died there. And he went down to the pit, and he was resurrected. He said, you're going to follow me. You're going to follow me. Well, that. No. You got it all wrong. You're a guru that's invented some new faith. Some new religion. You see, the attack by mainstream Christianity, which this man obviously believes, is furious. Satan has engineered this thing so well that when you come against it, you are going to be in big-time trouble. Anyway, he says, I got dizzy trying to connect all the dots as to his line of reasoning. And the thought crossed my mind from Matthew 18:3, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of God. Now, he says, the simplicity and the power of the gospel, even little children can understand it. Well, in the first place, little children are saved anyway. They're not even accountable until they're 13, according to everything we can find out, anyway. Except ye be converted and become as little children. What does a little child do? Let's take some examples. Daddy says, I'm going to take you swimming. First time. Now, I want you to just jump in the water. I'll be in the water. I'll catch you. Little child, boy, he's afraid. And boy, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't do this. But Daddy said to do it. In he goes. Why? Because the word of Daddy is an absolute. And if Dad says something, it's got to be true. This is how little children are. If Mommy says something, it's true. Now, I'm not saying they don't rebel and experiment on their own. Obviously, they're going to. But what he's talking about here, when you become as little children, you are accepting the Word of God as it is written. Not as your biases, and this man's bias is obvious. He is a Billy Graham Christian. Well, let's get into that a little bit. Jesus said that if you were telling the truth, you're going to be hated, reviled, persecuted, and virtually done in. You're going to be hated by the world, and hated by the false church, and hated by all the apostates. Well, Billy Graham's one of the most popular people in the whole world. Not only in the church, but in the governments as well. They love him. How's that? Well, Jesus Christ must have lied. He must have been smoking pot by the River Euphrates himself. Make such a comment as that. Or maybe he was drinking too much wine. You know, he made a lot of water and converted it into wine. Probably got drunk on it and just made that kind of a comment. Didn't really mean it, but I think that's probably what he meant. You see, as a little child, what is he telling you? He's saying, get rid of your prejudices, get rid of your religions, get rid of your philosophies, get rid of your isms, and approach me as a child. In other words, when I tell you this is true, it's true. And what are we? Full of unbelief. This man who claims to be such a wild-out Christian is obviously full of unbelief. He doesn't believe any of it. Not really, says he does. All these people claim, I stand on the Word of God. And when you show them verse after verse, no, it couldn't possibly apply. Doesn't mean that. And when you say, well, show me where Jesus said it doesn't apply, they look at you with a blank stare. Well, show me some verses of Scripture here. They look at you with a blank stare. Because they are steeped in the traditions. God said, I will pick their delusions. Do you think possibly that the multitudes, the millions of Christians who stood before Jesus Christ were given a delusion that they were saved when they were not? Because Jesus said, I'll tell them at that time, when they appear before me, they are not saved. Do you think that all of this is combined together somehow? You be converted and become as little children, get rid of all of your junk, all of it, and come to the Word of God and read it for what it says. Now, what is so wrong with studying your Bible? You know, they say, well, you know, this guru from Wisconsin is pulling people totally away from the Bible into this guru cult of his. Now, wait a minute. I'm asking people to study their Bible, and they're saying I'm pulling them away. What kind of garbage is that? I mean, if it's garbage or hooey, I'm calling them garbage, and I'm calling them full of hooey. I know what it says. I read it. Most people know how to read. The problem is they have their isms. They have their philosophies. They have their religious bias. And they filter everything through that bias. And as a result, it's like the I'm sure you've all played it as kids, the gossip circle. You whisper in one ear to the guy next to you or the girl next to you, and she in turn whispers, and it goes all the way around the circle, and when it comes back, it's totally different than what you said. Why? Because of bias. When Jesus said, come to me, you be converted. A true conversion means you accept Jesus Christ as God and the Redeemer. That's who he is. He is God in the flesh. He is the Redeemer. What's wrong with that teaching, I might ask? Is that non-Christian? You see, it's easy to call somebody a cult when they've never talked to you, never been to your house, don't even know really what you actually do think and what you do teach, will not come, will not sit down, will not do anything, not that I'm going to do that, I am not. The Lord has told me, present it, and if they don't want it, that's fine. I was told to present it as a warning. It has been. It has gone out to virtually all the churches. Carl Story, whom you've heard me talk about, was a multi-millionaire from California. He sent out the testimony, and Daniel, by the hundreds, to all the churches, never got a response. But, you see, their blood is not on my hands, and it's not on Carl Story's hands either. He's the one who financed it. He's the one who did it. Yeah, but see, they didn't want it because of their traditions. You see, if you have a tradition, you're not coming to Christ as a small child like this man's trying to claim. He's taking what is being said here and twisting it almost 180 degrees and saying, see how simple it is? Even a little child can understand it. In some ways that's true, and other ways it's not, because they don't have to understand it. They already know. It's beat out of them as they get older. Anyway, the Lord never made any hard condition. Never made any hard condition. Oh, in our Dark Light series, we went through the New Testament as well as part of the Old and outlined all of the words that were used to describe coming to God, searching him out with all your heart. If coming to God is so simple and so easy, then why do you have to search him out with all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your strength? Why did Jesus term, enter ye in at the strait gate, and then term the way to him as narrow, full of anguish, trouble, problems? Well, that doesn't... That's not for us. That doesn't have anything to do with Christianity today. That was all for the Jews. That you're just being ridiculous. It has nothing whatever to do with us. Well, then show me the verse of Scripture. I'll recant it if you can show me where Jesus said, by the way, the straight gate, narrow way has nothing to do with Christianity or my Christian people. Show it to me. I want to hear it. I want to see it. Because I can't find it anywhere. I've been looking. You know, people think, well, Stubbs just wants to be right. No, I don't. I wish I was wrong. Totally wrong. Scares me half to death. Scares me half to death what the Lord has shown me. It terrifies me. I try not to even think about it. Because when I think about it, I break out into tears. And I say, oh, this can't be right. Lord, this just can't be right. What does my word say? Is always the response. What does my word say? You see, except you be converted and become as little children, and believe what God says, you will constantly be in turmoil because you're trying to filter through what you previously were taught by the fakes. And the fakes are the preachers, teachers, and evangelists of today. They can come over here and burn me to the ground if that's what they want to do. I'm not going to change the truth of it. They're the fakes. Jesus said they were. They're very popular. They run these mega churches. I can go into a mega church and I'll vacate almost everybody. And I don't have to say anything myself. All I got to do is start reading Bible verses that they've never heard of. And they just get up and they walk out. You see, they can't stand it. Having itching ears, they have turned themselves unto fables and deny the truth. They just cannot stand what the truth of it is. The Lord never made any hard condition. Well, let's see. Straight. Full of obstacles. Very difficult to get through. Narrow. Full of tribulation. Full of anguish. Full of trouble. Ask. Seek. Knock. Strive. Labor. For the meat that endureth unto eternal life. Yeah. Repent. Undergo some chastisement, which all are partakers of, if they are mine, or they are bastards. The Lord never made any hard condition. Last time I read my scripture, it was full of admonitions of how difficult the saving of the soul is. Even the Lord himself says, it is with great difficulty that I bring a human soul down and destroy his haughtiness, destroy his anguish, his haughtiness and his arrogance, I should say. It is with great difficulty that anyone is saved. It's in the New Testament as well. Look it up. I would suggest this man actually start reading his Bible rather than mouthing off. And I don't believe a second his love. Because true love tells the truth. Now, there are several ways of telling the truth. You can hit it over the head like a 2x4, which is not very polite. Or you can just simply present it and say, look, read it for what it says. Come to God as a little child. What did God say? Remove your biases. Well, he talks about this conversion business. I want to read something to you, because he's taking conversion and claiming it is regeneration. See how simple it is? Except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Ah, the simplicity and the power of the gospel, that even little children can understand it. The Lord never made any hard condition. Anyway, is there a difference between conversion? This is from Dr. Lochdear, I guess is how he pronounces his words. I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce it. The Doctrine of Regeneration. Just listen to a little bit of this. In Christian circles, conversion and regeneration are treated as being one and the same experience. This is what this guy just said. That's what he said. They are used as interchangeable terms. But although the two events are closely related and cannot exist apart from each other, there is yet a clearly marked doctrinal distinction between them, proving that a closer study should not be ignored. Oh, this is from one of their own Protestant experts in the Bible, telling them that, hey, wait a minute now. Conversion and regeneration are not at all the same. They are different. We better study that out. Well, not according to this letter. We don't study that out. We don't have to. I remember thinking, he says, let me get down to it here. I remember thinking that if I am struggling with understanding Stuart's twists and turns in terms of just raw IQ or data grasping wherewithal, how could a child ever get a hold of it? Well, that's a ludicrous statement. A child doesn't have to. A child doesn't have to. When they become of age, different story altogether. He also seemed so proud of the sacrifices he had made. Huge, huge red flags. I never said anything about I was proud of it. I didn't do it. God did it. Wherein, if God did it and called me to the gospel, which I'm not a religious person even now, because I don't think Jesus Christ brought a religion, I think he brought the abolishment of the world's religions. And of course, the power brokers of those religions can't stand that concept, now can they? If God does the calling, and God puts it in your heart to do something, wherein is there any boasting? Wherein is there any boasting? You see, they misidentify what it is. Because it's the same kind of a thing when Jesus said, well, you know, I'm pretty much the creator of the whole thing. You know, the people around there must have thought, boy, what kind of arrogance is this? The Jews didn't like it at all. You're saying you're God. Well, down off with your head. We're not going to put up with that. That's kind of arrogant. That's really what they were saying. This is very arrogant and haughty. And who do you think you are? You see, that's when you present the real truth to people and they don't want to hear it and they can't hear it, boy, does trouble come your way real quick. Anybody that's gone down to the death, anybody that's gone to the cross, well, that takes care of a lot of that kind of stuff. There's nothing arrogant about it. There's nothing proud about it. When you get down to the cross, when you get the commandment to divinely love, sin revives and you die. Now, he wouldn't know anything about that. But when you look inside yourself, there is nothing there but the worst of evil and blackness. The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? The carnal mind is an enemy of God. What's there to be proud of? What is there to be proud of if your heart is desperately wicked? Who can know it? You can only know it by going down the narrow way to death, to the pit. Then you know. Okay. Even more obvious than the items above, it will be my final thoughts for you to chew on. Please carefully consider the first following lead-up facts. During 79-81, again 1995, you heard God's way of salvation explained by friends you grew up with and knew well. You heard it preached by several men, not just the preacher, I'm not going to name him, explained in tracts, most importantly, told out with convincing proof in the Bible. Well, of course, Satan knows how to twist the Bible around. He just omits things like the conditions, if, and, or, but. He changes come to believe in. He modifies everything, so it's not a gospel. Peter warned about that. He said Satan is so clever that he uses these false preachers, teachers, and evangelists to bring alongside a gospel that is a dead ringer lookalike, except for a couple things. There's no coming to Christ. There's no revelation of Christ. There is no judgment by Christ on you. and you just sail merrily on until you die and cross over, and then the big resurrection takes place, and oh boy, are we in for a surprise. I don't want to go before the Bema Seat judgment, let alone the Great White Throne, which I already went through. But these people are headed for it. So anyway, it's a red flag because evidently I'm full of pride because I made all these sacrifices. No, I'm just stating the facts, what I did. I didn't do it myself, though. That's the point I'm trying to make clear. I didn't really do it all myself. God puts it in you. No man can come to me except Christ draw him. Well, if no man can come unto me except God draw him. Well, if God is drawing you, wherein is there any pride in that? You're not doing it. God's doing it. Anyway, he says, you heard the gospel preached, and Christ died for me is all that is needed to save any soul, even yours. Christ died for me. Well, that's true. That's why he's called the Redeemer. That's why he had to pay the ransom. But there's a little thing he's omitted here, and that is Jesus said, pick up your cross, follow me. And if you won't do it, you're not worthy of me. You're not worthy. Pray always, he said, that you be counted worthy to stand before the Son of Man and escape all these things that are soon to come upon the planet Earth. Well, if you're going to be worthy, you're going to pick up your cross. Jesus said so very, very plainly. If you won't do it, well, I guess then you can just mock him and go your way. Two, something or someone must have changed your mind. Yeah, probably reading the scriptures changed his mind, because I know the individual here. He's not an idiot by any means. He sat down and checked it all out to see if there was any truth in all of it. Three, you met a man who showed you which was completely, not just slightly, contrary to what you had previously understood to be true. You believed him. Well, yeah, because the gospel of today is actually totally contrary, absolutely contrary to that which is taught today. It is. Check it out for yourself. I don't find any straight gate. I don't find any narrow way. I don't find any cross. I don't find any death. I don't find any judgment. I don't find any revelation. I don't find any resurrection to new life. I don't find any of it. Not in modern Christian theology. It's all been obliterated. Just as Peter, Paul, and Christ said would happen. You see, the warnings are all there. They've been there right along. I guess just people don't want to believe any of it, because after all, that would disturb their belief structure. Now I'm running out of time, so on side two we'll pick up the rest of it, and then I got a reply. But it's not my reply. It's from a man long, long ago. I want you to listen to what he had to say. Very similar to Pilgrim's Progress. My, you are a man of revelations, but my faith, it is sufficient unto me. Well, we'll see.